Okay, we're going to take your phone calls now this hour. Questions for Dr. John Hall as we talk about electronic harassment, perhaps your stories as well, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Dr. John Hall. John, as you were talking about your situation with your family, and that's one of the reasons you got interested in this, did you believe it in the beginning? Did you think it was happening?
Probably not at first. And, you know, and that's what we see with a lot of victims is, you know, it's real quick. Whenever someone's hearing voices that no one else can hear, it's real easy to write them off as mentally ill. And we're seeing that in the psychiatric population. But when you put it in context with the breaking and entering, which is noticeable, the vandalism that's done in the homes, you have to put it in that context. And when you have these victims come to you, a lot of them feel that they've been chipped, and we have found some chips in some people. It's being done through chipping and non-chipping technology. When you put it in context with everything else, you know, marks on the skin, break-ins, people following them around, which can be documented, then you have to take it seriously as victimization and that they've been basically enrolled in an experimental protocol, and it's not mental illness.
Do we have any champions in Congress who will battle for us?
So far, that's really kind of what we're looking for. And we're hoping that by having met with these people at the Presidential Commission on Bioethics, that will give us a stepping stone to getting some Congress people involved in the fight, and certainly involved in the fight in changing the common rule to where it actually will protect you from experimentation. Because like I said, right now, the way it reads on these agencies getting informed consent, you know, there's at least four ways for them to skirt informed consent that are so vague that it's amazing that more experimentation than is going on isn't being done on the public.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Skype first of all in Macomb, Illinois. Julio's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Julio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I had two quick questions, and I have a comment, and I think some interesting stuff's going on with me being followed. Do you think with sound technology they could be manipulating people through music and the media? I'm a broadcasting major, so I think it's interesting how they could easily deceive people. And in terms of sound technology and cell phones, what could be a tipping point? I did recently did an investigative report on Rahm Emanuel, and it's on YouTube, Exposed Rahm Emanuel. And I think following that, I've been hearing things on my cell phone like glitches. I hear echoes all the time, and I have one of those quote smartphones, so I think it's really easy. I hear like people sometimes conversations in my cell phone while I'm talking with another person, and the person on the other line thinks I'm crazy, but I honestly hear this stuff, and I just want to hear from you. I think you're the perfect person, Dr. Hall, to ask about this. And God bless you, and keep up the good work. And George, you're awesome as well. Webster Tarpley last night was great, so keep up the good
work. Thanks, Julio. Go ahead, John.
Well, to answer your question, actually, that is actually older technology. Subliminal messaging through any type of sound wave is actually called silent sound spread spectrum technology. That was invented by a man of the last name of Lowry. The patent has been around for a long time, and according to him, and this is quotations directly from him, that he can piggyback this silent sound spread spectrum technology through anything that produces a radio frequency wave, whether it's a cell phone, stereo system, your car stereo, and according to him, can actually download emotional clusters sets into your brain and clone EEG tracings through silent sound spread spectrum. And that actually, that technology can be used across anything that generates audio or any type of a radio frequency signal. Certainly your stereo system or your cell phone would qualify.
Okay, great. Next up, west of the Rockies, Michael in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you. Sure. I've got a lot to say. I'm 70 years old. In 1980, I was running for Congress. Okay. 82, I ran for governor of California. During that time, I met a young lady. Well, she was the chief salesman, the head salesman for IBM on computers back then, and it would be in the 70s. And she lived out in Redondo Beach, I think it was. And I met her, and she told me this story. She said, "I think you're the only one that would believe me what has happened to me. And she had a son, and she said that she was being victimized by an association called Forum 2000 from USC. Did you ever hear of that?
Forum? No, I've never heard of that.
Okay. Well, anyway, what happened was this fellow got involved with her, and they were personally involved. And one day she was knocked out, and she woke up on a Monday. She was knocked out on Friday. She didn't know where the weekend went. And she had what happened was, and we did a lot of dodging around with cars and different people to get her free so we could have a doctor take x-rays of her. Now, this was, you know, years after it happened to her, right? And they took x-rays of the skull, couldn't find anything. They finally did it again, found it in the nose. Now, every time they would turn a frequency on, she would get pain in the ear. That meant they were listening to her. So they would listen to whatever she was doing whenever, and she would get this pain in the ear and say, we're on the air. They can hear everything we're saying. And we, in the attempt, on another attempt, we went with her down to San Diego from Los Angeles, and we had four cars on us. They turned out to be cold plates. She had over 250 cold plates that she had, you know, picked up that they were following her. I saw the people. I could describe them this way. The women were lesbians, and believe me, they were possessed. She had people rent rooms from her. She had quite a large place, so she rented two rooms. And they were, she come to find out, they were Satanists, practicing Satanists, working with the CIA or FBI or something, you know, cold plate situation, whenever they wanted. And they were spying on her, and finally she had to throw them out. It got very difficult. One time she had called police, I think it was, to get, you know, one of them out. And she asked me personally to give her name, to tell people about it. She was afraid she was going to get killed. They got her son. He went to Columbia University. They worked on the son there, and she said that they had made him a Satanist. And
did you believe her?
Oh, yeah, because I saw all this stuff going on. I mean, I saw the cars trailing us. I saw the cold plate. I talked to the doctor. You know, they found this thing in her nose, right?
Right.
It isn't supposed to be there, okay? She gets tremendous pain in the ear. I've been there. I knew they were knew what we were talking about because one plan, you know, just blew up. It wouldn't work. So, no, it was perfectly obvious that they were on this woman. That the, oh, yes, and that she realized that the knockout, those 2 days, was when they, you know, surgically implanted that thing in her. And it was a tremendous amount of mind control going on. But this woman was extremely intelligent, and she was tough, and she would fight them. And so I'm going to give her name because she requested me to do this.
Well, we're not going to take her name.
Oh, okay.
You can give us her first name if you like.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Georgia.
Okay. Thanks.
And anyway, she was very much afraid, as I say, that she was going to be killed. When we were walking one time on the beach and she was talking to me about this guy who must have been about 6'7", 6'8", wearing nothing but bathing trunks, just came straight at us with a real menacing look. And just, you know, he was really big and very powerful, and he just walked straight at us. And then at the last moment, he dodged and went around us, and I just told her, I said, don't stop going. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
whatever's
going
to happen.
Just keep going.
Just keep going straight the way we were going. And he came right at us.
Whatever happened to her, Michael?
I lost touch with her, and that's what I'm afraid of. You know, I'm very fearful of what happened to her. The last time I talked to you, okay, I told you about some of the things I was doing, including the fact that I'm a Roman Catholic layman who is an exorcist. And I told you about the exorcism I actually did it on Clinton.
Right, that's you.
Okay, that's me. And I was the one that said that his wife would never be president of the United States because the exorcism would have hit him, go through to her. And when Obama came up, I said that's the completion of the prophecy, because he's going to knock her out of the race, and he was the only one that could do it. And it's better that we have him than her, because she's far smarter and far more.
You're right about that. Let's not divert though for a moment. Let's get your take, John. How far will they go to stalk, to harass?
Well, you know, the interesting thing with his story is, especially in California, there does seem to be a very strong connection between the satanic movement and this. As a matter of fact, one of the members in our consortium is Ted Gunderson, former director of the FBI there in L.A., who brings some really special views to the table with this because, you know, as you know, in his heyday, you know, he was part of the COINTELPRO problem. He's now turned out against it, has actually spent most of his retirement years with Doug Millar, a private investigator, fighting satanic ritual abuse. And there's a real strong hand-in-hand component with electronic harassment and the satanic movement, and it seems to be the worst in California. Now, as far as the chipping, most of this can be done without a chip. We are finding chips in people, the nose, the mandible of the jaw. There's a guy I've worked with in Missouri that appears to have a foreign body that certainly looks like a chip on MRI in his trapezius muscle. And you probably heard the story of Bob Boyce, an inventor from Georgia, who his story's been out. It's been published. It's he invented a way to use free energy to charge batteries, and a government official took him out to dinner to talk about his patent. He was drugged in a similar manner and noticed a frequency in the room where he does experimentation. It's supposed to be shielded, and he traced it back to his shoulder and had a Vera chip removed from his shoulder. Jeez. So there is some chipping going on.
We've got a doctor regular guest, Dr. Roger Lear, who claims that he's pulling out implants from people, but he thinks they could be of extraterrestrial origin, but maybe some of them have been planted by people on this planet.
That would be my guess. I've actually been meaning to try to contact Dr. Lear, and I know that is his take, that he only removes alien chips. But one thing I would like to tell you, Michael Persinger, who did a lot of the microwave energy studies for the Navy, found long ago that he could bombard the temporal lobes of the brain with the right frequency of microwave energy and actually simulate alien abduction and alien contact. In my mind, I think a lot of what we're seeing with alien contact may possibly be experimentation as well.
It could be. Okay, next up we go to Peaches in Sacramento, California. There you go, Peaches. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm a target. I've been dealing with it for 5 years now, and my situation got started because I filed formal complaints against my supervisors. And
What kind of work were you doing?
It's in law enforcement.
Okay.
And all of my evidence has pretty much been swept under the rug because of the devastating lawsuit that would occur if anyone acknowledged it. But I have...
So what did they start doing to you, Peaches, once you started to rat on them?
I've been stalked everywhere 24/7. They come around my house, blaring their radios, gunning their heavy motors. They prowl around my house all times of the night.
John, does that sound like the same kind of harassment you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty standard fare. We do see a fair amount of whistleblowers like that. They get harassed that way. A lot of times it is people just creeping around your house at night, standing at your front door, pulling in your driveway, shining their brights in through your windows, knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell in the middle of the night over and over, computer tampering. A lot of the whistleblowers obviously keep their documentation of what they complained on, either on their computer or in paper files at home. Those invariably, the place gets broken into and they disappear. That's a pretty common thing to happen to whistleblowers.
Peaches, what finally happened to you? Did they fire you or what?
No, they haven't fired me. I think there's been attempts made on my life. My house had been broken into. They rented my home, the first one I sold. And this current one that I bought, which I regret buying, they have entered. But since then, I've tried to secure my house as much as possible because I still work for the department. And
what did they do for you to basically turn them in or start making reports on them? I mean, it must have been pretty horrendous, right?
Well, it was over a period of 4 years, now going on five. Now it's five.
5 years. But what did they do?
It was just blatant harassment and discrimination and threats and intimidation in the workplace. And
well, you mean of everybody? So you just turned them in because of that?
No, of me, not of everyone.
Well, I mean, but what did they do outside of that for you to want to complain about them?
Well, no, that's what caused me to start complaining.
All right. See, I would think of this particular case, John, I would think that, she's probably got grounds. She's got a case, but I don't think this was the kind of electronic harassment that you're talking about. I think she ticked these people off and they went after her. What do you think?
Yeah, and a lot of people are being electronically harassed and don't really realize it. I mean, initially it's usually meant to mimic normal physiologic findings, you know, gallbladder pain, racing heart rate on occasion that you can write off to anxiety, or a low blood sugar type of feeling that's actually a result of microwave energy. They're finding more and more that the chronic exposure to electromagnetic radiation actually causes diabetes. They actually call it type 3 diabetes now, which is usually starts with low blood sugar before you start to get high blood sugar. She may very well be a victim. And we kind of lump in organized stalking with this because it usually goes hand in hand.
I would assume it will stop if she quits. Not that she should, but I just think they want her out, don't they?
Yeah, it sounds like they do. And actually, I've seen several other cases in California, especially out of the Sacramento area, that are similar, that are whistleblowers against some crimes that have been seen within the police departments in those cities. And from some of our reviews and some of our surveys and our research, unfortunately, in Sacramento and San Francisco, it seems like there's probably a law enforcement issue there as far as being included in some of this harassment.
John, your website, can people get a hold of you through satweapons.com?
That's right, www.satweapons.com. And anybody that feels are being victimized this for information, freedom from covert harassment and surveillance. If you Google that, freedomfchs.com has a lot of good information there, and I'm actually on their medical committee.
All right, we're going to come back in just a moment, John. We're going to take final phone calls with you. Questions, of course, and your stories as well. Dr. John Hall's book, A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. And as you just mentioned, his website, it's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, split program for you tonight. Next hour, Joshua P. Warren joins us with his paranormal moment as he talks about the poor man's paranormal, a manual on using household items to document ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, and psychic activity. I do not believe Joshua uses a Ouija board, though. He uses just about everything else. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. John Hall, and we'll take final calls for him on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, well, welcome back to the final segment with Dr. John Hall. John, do you go to many conferences or speaking engagements around the country?
Yeah, I try to make several a year, especially where people are interested in learning about this technology. Education is a big thing. Hope to be working with the Carnicom Institute here pretty soon. I've been in contact with some of their members. It turns out I know you talk about aerial spraying a lot on your show.
Yes.
And there seems to be a connection there, too. One of the members of the consortium, Byron Belitzos, wrote an excellent essay called Weapons of Mass Coercion that links the two together. You can find that on Google if you Google the title. Where some of the spraying may be aimed at creating plasma in the atmosphere to make it more electromagnetically viable for transmitting some of these weapons.
Okay, back to the phones. We'll go east of the Rockies. Ted in St. Louis. Hey, Ted, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I've been electronically harassed since 2003, at least by my behavior. It changed so abruptly. And this was mainly with vehicles and that type of harassment and break-ins. Things were not left the way I left them. When I left for work in the morning, I'd come home and things would be different. And then at my workplace, and I worked for the government, in 2006 through 2009, while I was at work only, I would become very ill. This would occur 3 to 4 times a week. Normally they'd give me a day off, I guess, to recoup. And I complained, you know, but I didn't complain enough. I just grinned and bared it and regret that.
What were they after with you, Ted? What did they want?
I have no idea. I still don't know why. There's no reason as far as I can come up with. And I was forced to retire because of it. I couldn't take it anymore.
How many people, John, don't know why?
Most people don't know why, and that's what really lends itself to looking like this is more experimentation than anything else. We've done surveys of the victims, and for the most part, it's a random group in one way. There's a certain age group, usually 35 to 55. Most of the victims are fairly well-educated. Most of them are professionals, but it's not being aimed at just whistleblowers or just one gender. Or just one race or religion. In that aspect, it's random. The common factors are usually just age. More women are victimized because this has turned out to be an excellent weapon to use for sexual assault. So more women are victimized. Usually, you never do know a reason.
It's just there. Michelle in Orlando, Florida. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling.
Oh, yes. Hello. Yeah, I've been suffering from this electronic harassment for 10 years plus. And it started out with, I think I made someone on the police force angry. And after this incident, I started noticing that I was being followed. I have a job where I'm always on the road. And these certain people, I just noticed that it was always a big line of cars following me everywhere I go. People with dark glasses on and people in vehicles with dark windows. That's how it started. And then they've done unspeakable things to me. And then there's no reason that I can think of, just like you're saying, the people, I'm also listening to them and they, you know, it's like they made someone mad somewhere up in the high place. And so nobody believes you. My family doesn't believe me. They ask me, well, why you? Why do you think they're doing this to you? And I can't give them any kind of an answer. And it's going on. I'm even feeling an effect right now as I'm talking to you, like there's a pressure. I just experience all those things that you all have mentioned. Even I listened to the man, Mr. Bell, the other night, the things that he was saying. I've experienced all of that, the high blood pressure. They've sent me to the hospital several times with uncontrollable blood pressure. I mean, I'm just thinking these people are going to kill me one day.
I bet you wish, Michelle, you knew why they were doing this to you.
Well, I have a feeling I do know why in a way. I think I just piss somebody off, and they put me on some kind of list. It's like an experiment. It's like they just experimenting with these electronic devices. I see them. I can recognize them. I've been studying them so long, I can just right off the bat tell who's, you know, involved with this thing. They get people. I sat back and watched them manipulate people to do the things they want. They don't have to do anything and get anybody to do anything they want. They lie to them, they tell them lies, and, you know, you can even approach the people you think that they're talking to, and the people won't say anything.
And let me ask you, John, in terms of percent, how many people in percentage-wise are being stalked or harassed because they're going after them individually for a specific reason? How many people, what's the percent of people who are just being tested?
Out of the people that we've surveyed, if I had to call a percentage on people that are specifically being victimized as a whistleblower or for some reason, it's probably very low, probably, you know, 1 to 5% of the total. I would say 95 to 98% of the people have absolutely no reason. They're not politically radical. They haven't blown the whistle on anybody. A lot of them are, you know, housewives or, you know, I've talked to several more physicians now that have been victimized here in Texas. And that really lends itself more to experimentation, because with experimentation, you want a random sample of the population. You don't want to pick one group, because you, especially if this is meant to eventually control everyone, you want to make sure it works in everyone. So the way it seems to be getting done, it's government technology that's being farmed out to either criminal groups. In San Antonio, it's a PI group that's owned by a former FBI agent that's doing it. In other groups, it's, you know, international law firms and their respective PIs. Some places it is law enforcement that appears to be doing it, but that kind of guarantees the people at the very top that are watching the experiment a random sample. These people are given access to the technology and basically given carte blanche orders to victimize whoever they want to victimize for whatever reason. And the answer to the question that is always asked is, well, why you? There's, why would somebody be spending this kind of money to watch you 24/7? One thing that we have found in multiple cities, this technology, if you can hear someone's thoughts, you know their code numbers, you know their account numbers. Most of these victims have seen money disappear from their accounts. The group here, we discovered, was actually financing themselves through mortgage fraud, creating ghost mortgages. So it's not that there's a government agency spending millions of dollars watching you 24/7. These people are financially self-sufficient through fraudulent activity.
How do they find these people that they test?
Well, sometimes it may just be that you're picked at random by, you know, the perpetrators themselves. A lot of times, especially with the sexual assault victims, it's just that they, you know, see someone that, you know, they're interested in sexually assaulting. Like in the case that she was just talking to us about, you may have blown the whistle on somebody that does have a connection to one of the perpetrator groups that has access to this technology. That's one of the things we're trying to narrow down, and survey after survey after survey is not showing a particular trend. It really does seem to be random across the population. Like I said, the age group is kind of specific. The educational status is pretty specific, that it's a fairly educated group that's being attacked. Many of them are professionals. And the age group is between 35 and 55. It's, women are 70% more likely to be a victim, according to our surveys. And out of that 70% that are female victims, almost 100% are complaining of sexual assault.
All right, let's go to Joseph in Juneau, Alaska. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
Yes, hello, George and Dr. John Hall.
Hi.
Great show, hey, really interesting. I first want to say, if you don't mind, George, I'm an old Navy guy too, that I have the highest respect for all our military, as we all do, in the 724 militaries all over the world. And we, in this dangerous world, and we can see it every day, we need the military. It is really dangerous. We agree on that.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Now, as far as experimentation goes, one of the biggest violators is the 177 VA hospitals in America. I had a doctor, a neurologist for many years, and he informed me, he was dying, he was an old doctor, that they do great experiments without the veteran's knowledge. This is how they cover it up. When a veteran files a claim for that, the United States Supreme Court ruled in Brown versus Gardner against the Veterans Administration that they have been using a regulation. It's called Title 38, Section 3.358, not inconsistent with the controlling statute, Title 38 of the United States Code, Title 3, Title 1151. Anyway, that's how they hide it. if a veteran goes against the Veterans Administration for using these experiments on them, the Veterans Administration uses this regulation to deny the veterans. And the Supreme Court ruled unanimously against the Veterans Administration in Brown versus Gardner. The case number is 93-1128, that the Veterans Administration is unscrutinized and unscrutinizable because they've been using this regulation to deny the veterans, and the Veterans Administration all over uses experiments without the veterans' knowledge.
John, have you heard any of this?
Oh, yeah. You know, as a military participant, you're pretty much property of the government, and actually the rules on experimentation that are laid out in the common rule, as worthless as it is, really don't even apply to you when you're in the military. Military men have been used for experimentation since the military started. That goes along with prisons. You know, even just as late as, I think, 2009, Raytheon announced that, you know, they went in conjunction with a prison there in California, I believe it's pronounced Castaic prison, where they're actually testing the Silent Guardian system, which is a more compact version of the active denial system, a millimeter wave weapon that burns the skin, to test it on unruly prisoners and prison riots to see if they burn them with this type of microwave weapon that they'll be able to control prisoners. So, yes, I mean, that is a pretty common testing ground, are military hospitals, VA hospitals, and prisons.
Let's go to Pennsylvania. First-time caller Jeff is with us. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I had a question for your guest. I wanted to know what his thoughts were on how safe our cell phones are, and I don't, like, mean at a government level, but even, like, an ordinary citizen level. Can someone really go to, say, like, Brick House Security on the Internet and clone or bug someone's cell phone so they can listen in on a live conversation or receive copies of text messages sent and received? Do you know anything about that in relation to cell phones?
Well, actually, there's software that can be purchased, especially using the Bluetooth function on your cell phone. Now, you have to be, you know, you can't listen too far remotely, but certainly if your Bluetooth is on, if the Bluetooth function is on and someone has the appropriate software downloaded, they can be relatively close to you and listen to your conversations and see your text messages with this particular type of software. And there are several companies that put it out. Cell phones are really not designed for much privacy, especially from the government. You know, the government, the NSA listening post, or pick up pretty much all of your cellular transmissions. And I know for a fact all of your text. We have three NSA bases here in San Antonio, and that's one of the things that they have, AT&T and Verizon routers in one of their cryptology centers that pretty much monitor all of the text traffic. But as far as someone, you know, surreptitiously, you know, getting to your cell phone, if they can get their access to your cell phone, they can download the programs on your cell phone that will transmit to another cell phone. Or if they can't, as long as your Bluetooth function is on, there's several programs that allow for monitoring through your Bluetooth as long as you're in a close proximity.
I bet we would be amazed at the technology they have. If we were ever touring one of these spots where they download all this information, I bet we would just be in shock, wouldn't we?
Yeah, it's really amazing. And, you know, if you even look at some of the, you know, what we call lower-end technology, not what we're talking about that's from HARP and satellite, but I was at a cybersecurity conference at one of the military bases here just a couple of weeks ago, where they were talking about a new system that they're planning on implementing nationwide called Connect the Dots. And this is a joint armed forces system where they'll put in high-resolution cameras, much like the UK has. They'll be on every storefront, every, you know, street corner, that has facial recognition, body recognition, and behavioral recognition software in it, where as soon as you pass by, it flashes your picture and actually scans it through NSA computers through a multitude of social networking sites and can identify you pretty rapidly that way.
All right, next up we go to Hollywood, California. It's Richard's turn. We'll get you in here, Rich. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, John. I wanted to ask you, it's a twofold question. It's just, it seems that there's a lot of mention of killers and celebrities linked to mind control. And I have been reading a lot about Manson murders, and people have mentioned that there's possibility of mind control being used in that instance. And I wanted to know what your guest thought of that. And also, I've heard mention of Charlie Sheen, actually, with all the strange behavior and his car going over the cliff twice, that he might be a victim himself.
You never know with Charlie.
Yeah. Well, you know, drugs cause a lot of behavior like that, too. So it's hard to distinguish. But as far as the Mansons go, you know, there's a lot of ways to brainwash somebody, and it doesn't have to be with electromagnetic technology, especially back in, at that time. It was being done with drugs and deprivation. Certainly a lot of cult groups have that down pretty pat. Now, as far as the celebrities go, one of the most notable here of late has been Randy Quaid, is claiming that he's been a victim, from a perpetrating group that specifically targets celebrities. And from what I've heard him on some of his public appearances, he does seem like he probably is a victim, but so far I haven't been contacted by him yet.
Yeah, that's a weird case, isn't it? He and his wife are both going through it. I think they fled to Canada, didn't they?
Yes, they did go to Canada, and everything he describes sounds like he's a targeted individual or a TI, which is, you know, what, you know, the victims actually call themselves.
You wonder, John, why, and I guess maybe we just won't get these answers other than what you talked about at the outset, and that was testing for a bigger picture.
Well, and we're hoping to get some of these answers through the commission hearing that we just had. Their charge is to give a report to the president saying, you know, is there non-consensual experimentation still going on? And after what they heard on Tuesday, I don't see how they can send a report to him saying that everything's just fine with what they heard on Tuesday.
No, they can't, unless they lie about it, and you never know. John, thanks so much for being on the program. Dr. John Hall, his work, A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. You've heard from so many listeners that things are happening to them. Up next, with this split format, Joshua P. Warren and his paranormal moment.